This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Big thank you to James Gordon for having just joined us to talk about the Ottawa Senators and Daniel Alfredson's return to the nation's capital tomorrow night. You can catch that game in its entirety on TSN television. Of course, the Jets next in action Monday night, Madison Square Garden, the most famous arena in the world, as they say. The Jets and the New York Rangers here on this fine station, TSN 1290, and on TSN Jets. The Jets practiced today in Central Park in New York. Olli Jokinen said, in talking about the practice, said he had fun doing it. You know, nice to get outside, a little bit different. Said the best ice he's ever skated on was at the ice at Tuxedo Community Center, though.
He said that?
Yeah, that's what Olli Jokinen said earlier today.
Well, I'm more of a Sir John Franklin type of guy.
That's fair enough. Let's talk about Evander Kane. You know, we talked about him briefly earlier, and we talked about how there's, you know, a lot of chatter in regards to him, and we're pulling up the clip of Bob McKenzie on Insider Trading on TSN talking about it. So we'll play that for you guys momentarily. You know, before we play that clip, it's sort of going to
before 10 minutes left in the show, he can really provide some useful things.
Yeah.
Hey, let's give Remus a break here, okay? He got us new headphones.
He's on time today.
He was on time.
Yeah.
He's given 100%.
He's changed.
Remus, and he donated $25 to my Movember page. So you know what? Remus can do no wrong
Remus
right now.
Remus actually donated, and his dad donated. They had the same message to you, and they donated to Ezzy, not to the team.
That was a coincidence. But I say, take the time to bring you new headphones. You're not even wearing them.
I forgot them at home, yeah. I know.
Shaking my head.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we should be giving Richie a hard time. Remus orders them online.
I forgot them at home.
Pays for them.
Got a new
Richie bag. Doesn't even wear them.
Sorry, Remus.
Whatever, as long as you're using them at home.
Let's hear the clip.
Similar situation insofar as teams in the National Hockey League are looking at Evander Kane. They're seeing an uneasy relationship between he and head coach Claude Noel, and they're wanting to see, are the Winnipeg Jets maybe interested in some point in moving him? He's not asked for a trade. The Winnipeg Jets are not shopping him, but teams are certainly monitoring that and maybe calling soon to find out if he could be pried out of there.
That's TSN's Bob McKenzie talking about Evander Kane.
Let's talk about that. The Jets are not shopping him, and he hasn't asked for a trade. That does not mean he's not available.
Right.
I mean,
not shopping him means, pretty much, as far as I'm concerned, means the Jets haven't sent that email to the 29 other general managers saying, he's available, let's have your best offers. We're determined to get rid of him, let's have your best offers.
Yeah, and that's obviously a terrible leverage point. So you don't want to ever really be in that situation. Like, you know, we've mentioned before the Danny Heatley situation. You usually get, you know, 50 cents on the dollar if that's the case. So, are they going to explore Trey? Yeah, you know, it appears so. I don't think just the uneasy relationship with Claude Noel is the overwhelming factor here.
Do you think there is an uneasy relationship between Noel and Kane?
Because yeah, absolutely.
Really? You look at it,
absolutely.
And when Kane plays, I mean,
He plays him a ton.
He plays him a ton. He plays him the most minutes practically of any forward for the most part. He's always up there 20 minutes a game. It's not like he's being underutilized.
Drew, so, if you have a situation where a player is injured, and then he's a game-time decision, and then the coach decides, after consulting with management, after consulting with the medical staff, that he's not ready to go, and then the player goes to the media and says, I was a healthy scratch, he throws the coach and the organization under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, I don't think it's just about Evander Kane's relationship with Claude Noel. I don't think Evander Kane has a good relationship with his teammates on a grand scale in the dressing room. I don't think that he is getting along with his teammates and he's happy to be here. And that's my opinion. That's not Evander Kane. I don't think Evander Kane's ever said that. And again, I shouldn't be speaking for Evander Kane, but as someone, and we're all around this team on a daily basis, not as far as being actually at the rink, but following all of the team's games and, you know, we have people when we can at practices, it doesn't seem like he's elated to be here and he's having a fun... Am I wrong?
Has he ever, though?
Does Evander Kane look like he's having fun this year?
I agree. That's a good point.
I mean, he's struggling. He's got one goal in his last 12 games. He's not putting the puck in the net. It can't be very much fun for him. And sure, he's leading the league in shots or he's up top five. It doesn't matter if you're not scoring. I mean, to me, it seems like he doesn't like to be here, and he's not getting along with his teammates. He's not getting along with the coach. He's going on the record and saying that, you know, throwing his coach under the bus. Uh-huh. So to me, I mean, sure, you if you're Kevin Cheveldayoff, you consider trading him. And again, we don't have inside knowledge. We should make that clear that for the listeners, we don't know if Evander Kane's about to be traded or if they're seriously considering trading him. But to me, as an outsider, but also someone who's kind of an insider in the sense that I'm around the team more than most people, I would say that you consider it.
He leads the team in forward ice time. He leads the team in forwards in even strength ice time. He hasn't played in the first power play unit, but he is playing a ton on the PK. So, what is Claude Noel not doing for the guy?
Giving him every opportunity. Uh-huh. If anything, I would say that Evander Kane just hasn't developed his game.
Well, you talk about how much ice time he's getting, he hasn't been very good either.
He's the most predictable forward in the NHL.
He's getting a lot of ice time, and he's not making good use of it in the sense that he's not producing. And for a guy like Evander Kane, sure, as he's gotten a little bit older, he's still only 22. You know, he still hasn't turned 23 yet. He's getting a little bit better defensively, but on this team, they need him to score because after Andrew Ladd, Blake Wheeler, and Brian Little, they've, with the exception of maybe Blake Wheeler, who struggled, Richie, mm-hmm. Andrew Ladd and Brian Little, I have no complaints about them. I mean, if I have to give them a grade this year, I'm giving them an A. They've been good. But after that, you're talking Kane, Jokinen and Setoguchi, we know they're limited offensively. So a guy like Kane, he's got to score, Rich. And if he's not mm-hmm. scoring and you're still giving him the ice time, I mean, what else do you have to do for this guy?
And the other question is, you know, in terms of interest, I think there'd be obviously an interest in a player like that, but I think that interest at a wide is not as widespread as you'd think.
I think if there's interest, you're buying him or you're interested in him on spec. You're interested in saying this is a guy who's got all the tools to be a 35, 40 goal scorer in this league. But right now, I think it's a fair question. Does he want to do the work to elevate his game to the next level?
Right.
Does he want to become something other than? I mean, every Jets fan knows his move.
I don't know if I agree with that. I don't think that he's going to really change too much. I think that what I see in terms of the league as a whole would be teams that have a complete lack of talent up front who need scoring and want to add him in there. If you're the Boston Bruins, based on the speculation of some unrest and uneasy relationships in the dressing room, you're not going to drop him into your 1-23 right. team that right. plays like their brothers,
right.
and you're not going to drop him in
and
there.
And they're first in the East right now, and they're scoring fine.
But the point is, they're not going to drop him in a cohesive right. dressing room because you don't want to risk if there are issues that you've heard about.
Right, Richie. And having
so,
said
but you're
going
to add him on, as yep. to a team that has a bunch that lacks talent up front, a team that needs goal scoring at any cost, and that has some talent to trade. The problem is that this Winnipeg Jets team needs forwards. Yeah. So if you're trading Kane, you almost certainly need to get a forward back who can play in the top six.
Yep.
I'll go 100%, unless you're going to make some other corresponding deal, which is unlikely. So the question then is, are you just trading talent for talent? And if that team needs talent, why are they trading talent? So it's not as simple as it may appear.
Right, and there's a lot of teams right now, and if you want to start with the Eastern Conference, I know, you know, we don't have all day to talk about this, but you're starting with the Eastern Conference. Talked about the Rangers, who the Jets play on Monday. We talked about the Flyers. Both of those teams are struggling. I'd have to believe that they would like a guy like Evander Kane as a left winger on one of their top two lines. And what are they willing to give up? So I agree with you, Richie, in the sense that, you know, we're talking obviously in theory here. If you're talking about teams that need a guy like Evander Kane, you could easily make a case for half a dozen, maybe even 10 teams, right? I don't think you'd say 29 teams want Evander Kane. Mm-hmm. Right, but you could make a Carolina, right? Mm-hmm. Again, a Carolina isn't a team that I think is going to make the playoffs. But a lot of teams right now that are struggling to score goals that could use a guy like Evander Kane. Mm-hmm. And what are they willing to give up? Are they willing to give up a top six forward that's mm-hmm. maybe a little bit less talented than Kane plus a prospect?
Well, let
that's
me ask
probably
you
what you're looking at.
The biggest trade in the NHL so far this year was Thomas Vanek going to the Islanders for Matt Molson and a first and a second round pick. Mm-hmm. If the Islanders had offered you Matt Molson and a first and a second for Evander Kane, would have you done that deal?
No.
Not enough?
No. Molson walks, you get a first and a second for him.
Okay, fine. Let's pretend that Molson's under contract long term.
Different situation, but I see where Richie's going with that, because you have players that are older and in different contract situations. You got to consider, Kane's got 5 years left
on
his contract.
We know the Jets aren't going to trade him for a guy who might walk in a year.
Right. I mean, you need to get a guy a similar age. And you ideally need to get center.
Well, I mean,
a lot of teams don't like trading good
top
six centers.
I'm just throwing out a name here, but I mean, I don't think they'll do this, but aren't you talking like a Derek Stepan or like someone like that who's under contract, younger guy?
That kind of framework, Ezzy, I think would be exactly what you're looking for.
And we're not saying that Evander Kane's going to New York for Derek Stepan, but we're saying that I think you want a guy who's, maybe you guys have it, I don't have it in front of me, but I think Stepan's under contract for
they just signed.
Three more years, four more years, maybe even longer. But I think you have to, you know, we've talked about it up the middle. Jokinen's a free agent after this year. Scheifele struggled. Now he's on the third line. You're going to need a second line center or a second line winger, right? Because we know that Ladd, Little, Wheeler for the foreseeable future is your top line. So you got to get someone back of equal talent.
Stepan's up for two. He's got 2 years at three on his deal.
Right.
So 1 year and then the next year.
I don't think he's going anywhere because the Rangers really like him. So
You know, you're tossing out names. But I mean, you're talking about a center and you'd be talking about something else as well that would come with it if it's because there still is a talent gap there. So not vast talent gap, but there's a talent gap. So, you know, if you're not trading a one-for-one straight-up talent thing, then you're doing a lesser talent, as he mentioned, in another player, whether it be a defenseman or a prospect or another winger or whatever it may be. It's not a simple situation, but I certainly think it bears monitoring, because I don't think this situation's getting any better. It may get worse. But I don't think it's getting any better.
I would agree with that assessment. It'll be something, like you said, worth monitoring. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
You're listening to
the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on tsn1290.ca.
Minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. This segment is brought to you by Chill Barn Grill, located right at Confusion Corner at 423 McMillan Avenue. Craft beer, great food, delicious cocktails, and enough HD TVs to guarantee that you won't miss a minute of the action. The Chill Barn Grill, Illegal Curve away game headquarters. Check them out online at chillbar.ca. Guys, obviously our new commercial for the Chill Bar and Grill is airing. How many takes did that take you guys to record that commercial?
Richie, what did it take? Three takes?
Three takes.
You guys are just naturals.
Oh, we're naturals. But I want to use this opportunity.
You heard the commercial, though?
I want to use this opportunity right
I
now.
I said you're naturals. I didn't say you're good naturals.
I want to thank the Chill Bar and Grill. We had our event there Wednesday night, Snap the Stash, in support of Movember Winnipeg. They did a great job. Thanks for coming out for everybody, and thanks to the sponsors. I thought it was a really good time because there was a blizzard the previous night, and the weather was kind of bad, and I thought we had a good turnout, and it was really good. Raised money. We gave away the Lifetime Achievement Award to Rick Wolfson, who's had the mustache for 45 years, and we gave out some other Movember. We had a lot of giveaways and everything, so it was great.
I don't know if you saw the comment, by the way, Ezzy, you did a great job raising the event and running the event and then eating your own blizzard at the end of the night.
It's actually funny, because your brother, actually, when I went to your house after the midweek show, which was Tuesday, Adam, your brother, had blizzards, one for himself, one for his girlfriend, and one for your mom, and he actually ate the wrong blizzard.
That's true.
And AP had the funny line. We call Richard's brother Adam Pollock AP, and he had the funny line. He said, well, that was a waste of calories, because he ate the wrong blizzard. It was so funny. But yeah, again, no.
And he ate the right blizzard.
The event was awesome, and we'll still be there for all the away games starting Monday against the Rangers.
We're going to talk about the defense right now? Do you want to do that?
Yep.
Start that off?
Yep.
We are on the radio.
I know. I'm just making sure you guys know.
Like, are we talking about defenses, like, as in, you know, defensemen? Or are we talking about, like, defenses in, like, defending the country?
Last week on the show, we took the Jets forwards and we sort of asked the question, you know, what teams in the NHL would trade their forward group straight up for the Jets forward group? And we determined that there's about six or seven teams that we thought that the Jets forward group is clearly better than in the NHL. We decided this week to ask the same question. looking at the defense. Mm-hmm. And prior to the show, you guys did some good work, and you went through the list of the 29 other teams besides the Winnipeg Jets, and you made a list that, you know, you had three categories: better defense than the Jets defense, similar defense to the Jets defense, and worse defense to the Jets defense. Richie, you said there are 9 teams in the NHL, in your opinion, that have a clear-cut better defense than the Winnipeg Jets. Your 9 were the Chicago Blackhawks, the St. Louis Blues, the Los Angeles Kings, the New York Rangers, the Montreal Canadiens, the Phoenix Coyotes, the Boston Bruins, and the Nashville Predators. Ezzy, you were asked the same question. You came up with a list of 14 teams who you thought...
It was 12. It was 14, never mind. Yeah,
it was 14 teams. I'm looking at it. 14 teams that you thought had a better defense than the Winnipeg Jets. You and Richie agreed on the top 8, and you also had Anaheim, San Jose, Pittsburgh, Detroit, Philly, and Vancouver.
I don't know how you don't have Vancouver better than the Jets, but...
Well, let's start... Why don't we start there, Richard? As he says that the Vancouver Canucks defense is better than the Winnipeg Jets defense, Richie, you say that they're similar to the Winnipeg Jets defense.
Well, I'll speak to it. I mean, I think when you're looking at the Vancouver Canucks team I really liked, Kevin Bieksa to me isn't what he once was.
I think he's still great. Go on, though.
Jason Garrison is a good puck-moving defenseman, but not great defensively. So I think the core of their team is Alex Edler, who I think the team probably would like to have matured a little bit more than he has. And then Dan Hamhuis is, you know, solid, more of a defensive defenseman, but he can play a two-way, he can move the puck. And then you have your back-end guys, you know, your 5-6 guys, who I don't think are solid but aren't anything special. I think when you're looking at it overall, and you're looking at the youth in terms of the Jets' youth, you look at Bogosian, Bufflin, Enstrom, Trouba. You know, I think there's an argument to be made that the unit might not be the most defensively adept, and I think that's obviously something to take into account here. I think there's an argument to be made that you would take that Jets' D over Vancouver.
Worth noting that when we did this exercise, we also looked at sort of the prospects and at the farm systems for all the teams. Yeah.
Yep.
So when we talk about the Jets defense, we include guys like Joshua Morrissey in this case, you know, as a future first round pick.
Brendan Kitchen.
Yeah, you know.
And Vancouver, you know, you look at...
Well, he was just drafted last year.
Yeah, Vancouver, you look at their system and it takes 3 seconds because, you know, aside from Horvat and Shankarik and guys, these guys don't have a lot of guys.
Their top prospect right now is Frank Corrado. As far as defensemen.
Right, and that's what I mean.
And he's a couple years away from being an NHLer.
Right. So you guys disagreed on Vancouver, but Ezzy, let's hear. Why do you think the Vancouver Canucks defense is better than the Winnipeg
Jets? Specifically Vancouver. I mean, well, first of all, a couple years ago, they took this team to the Stanley Cup Finals, right? So we're a couple years removed from that, but Keith Ballard has been moved out. But I still think, you know, Richie talks about Kevin Bieksa. I still think as a player in the NHL, he's still very solid physically, and he's got some offensive ability. Maybe his numbers have declined a little bit from 4 or 5 years ago. But, you know, Alex Edler's still unbelievable, and he's faced some problems there. And Jason Garrison, Richie talked about on midweek, he's had a lot better of a year than he did last year. Dan Hamhuis is very solid defensively. Chris Tanev, as a bottom pairing defenseman with Ryan Stanton, is very solid. I still think they move the puck really well. And under John Tortorella, I think that's only going to get better. And I think you have to look at the Winnipeg Jets and who they have in their top four right now, and it's just not good enough. Grant Clitsam is not a top four defenseman, and he's more suited as a bottom pairing defenseman. I think Richie would agree with that as well. And I think that to me is why the Jets lose out to some of these teams like the Ducks, like the Canucks, and other teams. I know we've gone through the other teams, but even a team like the Flyers.
Well, we're going to keep going, so that's just one team at a time here. The next team that you guys disagreed on, Ezzy, you had them better than the Jets. Richard, you had them similar to the Jets. The San Jose Sharks.
Well, you know, I look at the San Jose Sharks, Dan Boyle. Dan Boyle is not, you know, not spring chicken anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If he was in this room, somebody would have eaten spring chicken already. But, you know, he moves the puck well, and he does a lot of nice things. But you look at their 6 overall, and Vlasic's had a nice year and has been consideration for the Olympics. Justin Braun, Matt Irwin, Scott Hannon, I know Brad Stewart, a respectable veteran. I mean, is that a defense that you're taking over the Jets? And I can see some of the Boyle being a Olympic winner, a cup winner, quarterback to power play, and Vlasic skating and all that stuff. But overall, I think there's certainly a debate to be made that the Jets are are a better defense than that. I lean towards that, to be honest.
You have the San Jose Sharks as a better defense than the Winnipeg Jets.
Sharks have given up 57 goals. The Jets have given up 80. And so what's the equalizer there? Is it goaltending? Is the goaltending that much better? Maybe. Antti Niemi is, you could argue, is a slightly better goaltender. But I look at their team and I see a mix of veteran leadership and youth. And I agree with Richie in the sense that Dan Boyle, you know, how many years does he have left? Maybe two, maybe three more years of being a productive NHLer. But I still look at that team as a whole as being better defensively as a group. So you've got Scott Hannon and Brad Stewart. Now they're mainly third pairing defensemen. And for me, Vlasic is the guy that has really become a kind of top shutdown defenseman for the Sharks. So I'm not saying that the Jets are that far. I'll be honest with you. The Sharks were one of those teams mm-hmm. where I was kind of like, are they that much better? I think they're similar in ways, but I still think as a group, they're far more advanced than the Jets. And by the way, guys, the prospects that the Jets have in the system, Jacob Trouba is playing for the Jets right now. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm looking at more of it. Maybe I misunderstood the assignment a little bit, and that wouldn't be the first time because I got in trouble a lot in high school and junior high school. But I'm looking at it more right now, and I think the Jets have better prospects in the system. So going forward, I think the Jets, I would rate them higher than the Sharks, but right now I still think as a group they're better defensively.
We're going to continue
this. Because it's tough to look at them now and in the future. And I mean, I guess you put them all together, but, you know.
Somebody didn't do their homework, if I'm that way.
Look at it. I got some spreadsheets here. I did my work.
Dog ate your homework.
It's just a lot of crackers, really, as far as I can tell. Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're going to continue with this on the other side of the break here on TSN 1290.
You're listening to
the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Two hours down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg, Michael Remus, producer Tim getting us on and off the air like the expert that he is. This segment is brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the Linden Market Dental Center. Whether an elite athlete or a weekend warrior wearing a proper fitting custom-made mouth guard designed for you by Dr. Les Rikus and the Linden Market Dental Center is an essential part of your protective equipment. Give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial teeth and mouth protection. Contact the Linden Market Dental Center at 204-487-2226 or online at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com.
Drew, can you tell Richard to turn this light off? Like, I don't need a light in my face here. It's bad enough that I have to look at Drew to my right. I don't want to have this bright light in my face.
Continuing on with our conversation about defenses that are better and or worse than the Winnipeg Jets or similar, that also is a possibility.
And by the way, can I just say one thing? I know
you've said a lot of things. What's this one going to be?
I mean, I've talked a lot today.
It is a radio show.
Yeah. But
so, I mean, we're going to give our overall ranking. Richie and I are going to give a ranking of where we would rank the Jets defensively. And then, as we did last week, I'd like to rank the forwards as well. And we're doing this honestly. I'm just saying, you didn't mention that, so.
You hadn't mentioned that you wanted me to mention
the
that.
The fact that I have to be an analyst and a host, I'm doing double duty here, it's a little bit taxing. By the way, I haven't paid my taxes yet this year. Just kidding.
Is this a monologue today? What the hell's going on?
Little soliloquy.
The Detroit Red Wings. Richard, you had them as a similar defense to the Winnipeg Jets talent-wise. Mm-hmm. Ezra, you had the Detroit Red Wings as better than the Winnipeg Jets. Richard, I'll start with you because I figure Ezra's going to argue both points.
Well, you know, Drew, when I look at the Detroit Red Wings, I kind of see similar skill set, right? I mean, do the Jets have a guy who's all around as good as Cronwall? No. But Brendan Smith, Erickson, Kindle, Quincy Smith, the guys all move the puck, and they can all skate. And that's what the Jets can do. I mean, all the guys, Jets guys can skate, and all the Jets guys can move the puck. So defensively, not so great. But Detroit defensively, there are some issues as well. I think they're pretty similar. I think you could certainly go both ways on that. I mean, I like Kindle. I think he's a really nice defenseman. And sure, their left side's a little bit more short up than the Jets' left side, but their right side is not maybe as short up as the Jets' right side. So it goes both ways.
I think you make a good point. I do think that the Red Wings aren't as far ahead of maybe the Jets as they were, Richie, in the first couple years. A couple years ago when you know, they still had Brad Stewart, and I think they miss him. And you go back even further with Lidstrom and Rafalski. They really have not recaptured that type of I mean, the Red Wings guys, let's be honest, they were la creme de la creme. That's French, by the way. for a long time of defensemen. I mean, you're talking Lidstrom, you know, one of the best defensemen of all time, maybe second behind Bobby Orr. But back to comparing them, the reason I guess I give them the slight edge, because Cronwall is so good, you know, he's a top 15 defenseman in my opinion. And I really like Danny DeKeyser, mm-hmm. who I believe is still injured right now.
Yep. He is.
But I really like him out of Michigan State, coached by Andy Murray. Really like him. He's come in as an undrafted guy. But when they were in Winnipeg, guys, they didn't have Brendan Smith or Jonathan Erickson. They just signed Jonathan Erickson to that contract. I really like Jonathan Erickson. He's taken a while to develop. He's in his late 20s now. But I guess I just give them a slight edge. Because of, I think their top four is slightly better than the Jets' top four. But again, you can make an argument with the Jets' prospects, pardon me, with Josh Morrissey coming up and Jacob Trouba already playing, that the Jets are, as Richie just argued, you could even say that they're slightly better than the Red Wings. So, again, I wasn't super confident on that one. I guess that one could be go either way.
And they're very similar. DeKeyser played Western Michigan with
Sorry,
Brandy
what did
Murray,
I say?
Michigan State.
Sorry, that's what I meant
to
say.
But very similar in terms of the prospects they have. All puck-moving guys, all guys that can skate, all built for the NHL. But they're, you know, they could both use probably a lockdown guy, if not two.
Yep.
Philadelphia Flyers. Richard, you have them as a similar defense to the Winnipeg Jets. Ezra, you have the Flyers defense as being better than the Winnipeg Jets.
Can I go first, or does it always have to be Richie going first?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I love Braden Coburn. I mean, you watched Braden Coburn play yesterday. He was doing an excellent job. For me, he's one of the best shutdown defensemen in the league. And Kimmo Timonen, still, even though he's older, what, 38 or 39 years old now, he's still a good defenseman, more so offensively at this point because he's lost a step. And I know we talked about this last week. I still like Luke Shen, and I know Luke Shen has, what, one or two points this year, but I still like him as a defenseman. I know his offensive numbers aren't there. So I still think as a group, they're better than the Jets. And if you look at what has kept the Flyers in this playoff race, it's Steve Mason in the defense because the offense has not been there. Couturier, sure, he had a great game last night, last afternoon, last morning, whatever. But he's only got two goals. So, I mean, nobody is scoring.
Well, you're going today, eh?
Nobody is scoring for the Flyers, Richie. And their defense is still pretty darn good. And I know they get criticized for being slower and all this.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mezeros is back in the lineup. He's been a healthy scratch 11 times this year. But I still think they're pretty good. And that's why I gave them the slight edge over the Jets.
Yeah, I lean more towards the Jets than the Flyers. But I can see the argument. You know, I think Coburn, all around, better player than Bogosian. And Timonen, older than Enstrom. But, I mean, there's kind of a fair amount of similarities. And
small puck-moving guy.
Yeah, their games. And then you look at, you know, obviously Buffalo and Trouba, I think, better. Those two guys are better than what Flyers have in terms of Grossman, Shen, Mezeros, Stripe. But the bottom pairing guys can do more, I think, for Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. You know, the little bit more mix of physicality and bigger, and then they can move the puck. Mezeros has his flaws, but he can move the puck.
Yeah, hold on, is Richie changing his mind here?
No, I think the Jets are a better defense than the Flyers, but yeah. I think you can argue it. So I'm not going to put them as considerably worse, because I do think that their mix, you know, they do have a... They're pretty straightforward in terms of their mix. You know, puck mover, defensive, physical guy.
Right.
And their physical play, I think, certainly makes them more valuable in that respect because the Jets don't really hit anybody. I mean, they hit people once in a while, but they're not hitting people all the time.
The Pittsburgh Penguins. Richard, you said the Pittsburgh Penguins have a similar defense to the Winnipeg Jets. Ezra, you see that the Pittsburgh Penguins defense is better than the Winnipeg Jets.
And let's talk, you look at Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, again, when the forward group has a puck in the offensive zone all the time, it's a lot easier to play defense.
Sure.
Letang, as offensively gifted as anybody, and Orpik and you know, Scuderi, those guys are solid defensively. So, you know, I lean more towards Pittsburgh, to be honest, than I do 1-6 than I do the Jets. But their argument can be made. I mean, I know Olli Maat is a young, talented player. But guys like Niskanen and Dupree and Engeland, you know, they have their strengths, especially Niskanen and Dupree in terms of puck moving, but they do have their flaws as well, and this team is top-heavy. I think you could certainly make the argument both ways here.
Right, and that's the reason why Ray Shiro went out and got Rob Scuderi, mm-hmm. Richie, away mm-hmm. from the LA Kings, because they weren't very good defensively, and they struggled against a team like the Islanders in the first round. So that's why the Penguins felt the need to get Scuderi back, because this is a team, let's be honest, they're a cup contender this year with the amount of talent they have on forward. Just give Crosby the Hart Trophy right now. I mean, the guy's playing out of his mind. But I still think that they're better than the Jets, and they've got Derek Pouliot, who they drafted in 2012, as a prospect, and as Richie mentioned, they've got Olli Maat there. So I still think they've got a little bit more ability defensively with the veteran leadership of Orpik and Paul Martin, who's injured, I still believe now, and he's struggled, and that's why they've got Dupre back in there. So I don't think the Jets are that far behind the Penguins, but I think they're just slightly still a bit there. But I got to mention, too, and I know I've been harping on this, but I think with the youth and the prospect that the prospects that the Jets have in the system, I would rank them a lot higher if we're talking about what their defense is going to look like a couple years from now. Because I think you throw in Josh Morrissey. Josh Morrissey, like Trouba, is a guy who's a two-way guy. So he's got talent offensively, but also defensively, positionally, he's very good. So I do think, you know, I'm not trying to be all negative, because as a group, I think the Jets' defense is a lot better than their forwards. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that the group of defensemen that the Jets have is the strength right now. I think that if you look at up the middle and, you know, on the wings in the top six, that's where the Jets are struggling a little bit right now. It is their defense that is their strength. I just want to make that clear.
Changing things around for a moment here. This is the only one you guys actually disagreed on, where Richard thought that this team was better than the Jets, and Ezzy thought it was similar to the Winnipeg Jets defensive group, and that's the Nashville Predators. Richie, you thought the Predators have a better defense than the Jets.
Well, I mean, I'd say Trouba and Jones, throw them in the same class. Okay, that's I think highly of Trouba, as highly really as I do of Jones, close to it.
Yep.
There's nobody on this defense that's anywhere close to Shea Weber. And I think when you're doing this analysis, when Shea Weber plays 25 to 30 minutes a game, just fill the other ice time, because he's that good. And then Roman Josi's underrated, guys.
Yep.
And Ryan Ellis, he can move the puck. And he's a young guy, he can move the puck. Kevin Klein does what he needs to do. This is I know some of their other guys maybe have some questions about, but overall, I think when you put Weber on the team and you offset the Trouba advantage that I think lots of teams have with Seth Jones, I think the Nashville Predators have a better defense. I mean, their forwards aren't great, but their defense to me is better.
Yeah, and probably the reason why I put them as comparable is just because I think the Jets are equal, if not better, in on the second pair and on the bottom pair. I think Keaton Ellerbe and Mark Stewart have done a great job on that third pair, and I know there's going to be problems. Well, I mean, I thought Keaton Ellerbe, you didn't think he played well last night?
Yeah, it's fine, but like, you know, Daryl Sutter's giving up on you, and Lombardi, and Florida's giving you away when they don't have any defensemen. I'm not exactly going, you know, writing home about him.
But look at another way. The Kings defending champions had injury problems with Willie Mitchell, so they thought Ellerbe, enough of Ellerbe to give him a chance there, right? So, I mean, I we'll argue how much I am a big fan of Ellerbe's. You obviously aren't as much. That's, we're willing to argue a little bit on the show, Rich. But so, I mean, Nashville, again, it's tough for me to argue against Nashville because Shea Weber is, maybe with the exception of Ryan Suter, the best defenseman in the NHL.
If not better.
Right?
Yeah.
If not better. So it is tough. But I think just when you go down those lower pairings, I think, you know, there's still a little bit. I think they lost a lot when they lost Ryan Suter, and that's obvious, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
here's the most interesting one. This is the one where you guys weren't even close really in agreeing. This is the Anaheim Ducks. Ezzy thought that the Anaheim Ducks were better than the Winnipeg Jets defense. Richie, you thought that the Anaheim Ducks were worse than the Winnipeg Jets defense.
Yeah.
That's the only one where you not even one of you had them as being similar. Richie, you can start with why the Ducks are a worse defense than the Jets.
This wasn't an easy one, Drew, because you kind of, you know, greater than the sum of their parts, right? Even that team, I think, greater than some of their parts. And I, you know, take into account that Hampus Lindholm is a really nice, talented player that not many people are aware of. And Cam Fowler's coming to his own. He's more trusted by the coaching staff. But there are guys like Lovejoy and Fistrich and guys playing right now with the injuries they have, with Surrey and such, and other guys they have out, Jonkman, Vatanen. I think you're taking the Jets' defense over that team. I think you are, just straight up talent-wise, skating-wise, physicality. I mean, they can skate that team, some of those defensemen. I know Brian Allen is not a great skater, but solid defensively.
He's injured, too.
Exactly. But I think the Jets' defense is better. But I give Anaheim credit, because you look at that, you say, nothing's too special. But at the same time, they're getting it done.
We had Dan Wood on the show, and we were talking to him about Sammy Vatten, and it's actually Hampus Lindholm who's played more games.
Absolutely.
He was a high first-round draft pick.
Played his first game in Winnipeg.
Yep, that's correct. And I guess I give the edge to Anaheim for being more solid defensively. And, you know, Francois Beauchemin's a guy who's been part of the Ducks, I think, on three separate occasions, at least two separate occasions, and he plays with Cam Fowler. And they've really struggled on the power play without Suré there. But then, yeah, Lovejoy comes over from Pittsburgh, and he's been there for a couple years, and he's a bottom-pairing guy. But I still think their ability to shut teams down in the Western Conference is better than the Jets' ability. And offensively, I would probably give the edge maybe to the Jets, actually. So overall, as a group, I just thought they were stronger than the Jets.
Let's go to break. We'll continue this on the other side, another segment. We're looking at the defenses in the NHL, comparing them to that of your Winnipeg Jets. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This is TSN 1290, online at tsn1290.ca.
You're listening to
the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on tsn1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. Twitter at Illegal Curve, facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and the website is IllegalCurve.com. Continuing our comparison of Jets defenses versus those of the other teams in the NHL, better than the Jets, similar to the Jets, worse to than the Jets.
Right.
Next up is the Columbus Blue Jackets. Richard, you're high on the Columbus Blue Jackets. You say that they have a similar defense to that of the Winnipeg Jets. Ezzy, you say that the Columbus Blue Jackets have a worse defense than the Winnipeg Jets.
Well, you know, you look at the Columbus Blue Jackets defense, and you know, you probably lean more towards the Jets, but a guy like Jack Johnson, he's pretty similar to Zach Bogosian. They play a similar game. They can skate really well. They can shoot the puck. Maybe not always thinking the game as well as you might have hoped when you draft them both really high in the top five. But I think they're pretty similar. Look at James Wisniewski, right-handed guy, offensive, big shots, you know, but not great defensively. Dustin Byfuglien kind of fits that bill too, right? I mean, I think Byfuglien's more of a game breaker than him, but they're similar in terms of they give it back when they produce offensively. So
I think if you took a poll of 30 general managers, 30.
I'm not saying that you wouldn't, Drew. I'm just saying that there are comparable skill sets.
Okay.
So then you look at Ryan Murray. Well, you know, Ryan Murray's a nice young player. I don't know enough about Ryan Murray in terms of seeing him play, but
second overall draft pick.
Yeah, Jacob Trouba, young player. Ryan Murray, Fedor Tuten, good, solid defense. And Dalton Prout, a guy that people don't know a lot about. He's pretty good. So, and Nikita Nikitin's a guy that they're, you know, has been a nice acquisition for them. So you look at that defense overall, and I can certainly hear the arguments, because while the Jets might have that Enstrom offensive ability that maybe Columbus would like, the guy like Fedor Tuten, more of a stay-at-home left-side guy, the guy the Jets don't have. So I think there's an argument to be made.
As he make the other argument.
Well, the you know, before I make the argument, I think that James Wisniewski's leading the Blue Jackets in points right now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, offensively, he's right up there with Buff, who is second or third amongst all defensemen in scoring. So probably the main reason why I picked the Jets over the Blue Jackets, you know, Richie mentioned Jack Johnson, a guy who has really taken a leadership role there since moving over from the LA Kings, right? And Ryan Murray hasn't put up big offensive numbers, but in his first season, the reviews are pretty good. Ryan Murray is a guy who's going to be obviously the future of that team. And I guess I'm giving the Jets a little bit of an edge here because, you know, Wisniewski, you mentioned he's not very good defensively, and I agree with you. He's got more talent. And Fedor Tuten, smaller guy who isn't really what you'd call a shutdown guy, but for the Blue Jackets, he is. You mentioned Nikita Nikitin. You know, again, I think, you know, a guy like Ellerby or Stewart is comparable to a Nikita Nikitin as far as, you know, getting the lower minutes. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving them the edge, and then I throw in the prospects. They've got Tim Erickson, who's older, but he came over in that trade. And so when I look at, you know, Morrissey and Brendan Kitchen, a guy who's a couple years away from the NHL, but that's why I'm giving the Jets the edge there, because I do think that there's more offensive talent, and, you know, the bottom talent for the Blue Jackets is similar.
I didn't mention David Savard, who's people don't know a lot about, but
young guy too.
He can produce offensively.
The Washington Capitals, Richard, you said that the Jets' defense is better than that of the Washington Capitals. Ezzy, you have the two defenses being similar to one another.
Yep. So that's the same similar case where neither of us have the Jackets or the Capitals being better, but the Washington Capitals are they struggle after a guy like Carl Alzner. They struggle big time. Mm-hmm. To shut other teams' best forwards down. And, you know, a guy like Mike Green, he has no goals this year. And, you know, really a guy like Mike Green, he needs to be better than that. And you look at Steve Alexi and Nate Schmidt, who's played in there, Alexander Urbaum, a guy that played for the Brandon Wheat Kings, Erskine, Tyson Strachan. You know,
you arguing with me right now?
No, I think that this is I think this is a team that's you know, not amazing offensively, and they're similar to the Jets in the sense that they have more offensive guys, and they kind of miss having a veteran, more of a shutdown guy. And as I said, Alsner's the guy that really is that type of player for them. So I think that the Jets and the Capitals both need probably a veteran guy in their top four there to solidify the group.
Well, you know, when I look at Washington, I see Mike Green talented offensively, but not what he once was injury-wise. And
how does he have no goals right now, Rich?
Yeah, I know. He can shoot it too. And John Carlson, who to me hasn't progressed maybe as some would have hoped. Alsner's a solid stay-at-home guy. They got nothing behind those guys, though. They really got nothing.
Yep.
I know Orlov's been strung up and down, and he just demanded a trade, apparently. His agent wants to see him out of there because Oates, they keep calling him up, and Oates doesn't play him. But no, overall, I just don't think they have enough. I mean, they're four through six is going to hold them back. And if they get to the playoffs, which is certainly possible right now, especially in the Eastern Conference, but they get to the playoffs, teams will go to town on the bottom part of that defense.
They keep calling him up, and it's worth noting, Elliot Friedman addressed it in 30 Thoughts this week. They keep calling him up because if he's not on the roster for 30 games this year, I think by January 1st or something, or January 31st.
Yeah, I read about it, but they're not playing him.
I know. Which obviously tells you that
they've seen the guys are playing ahead of him, too. Like, do you think, I mean, if you like him, you like him, you don't, you don't.
Right. And they seem to not like him, but they don't want to lose him for nothing.
Right.
So they want the best of both worlds, really. Last couple teams we got here, the Colorado Avalanche. Ezzy, you think they are similar to the Winnipeg Jets on the back end. Richie, you have the Jets as a better defense than the Colorado Avalanche.
Right. And we should mention, the Colorado Avalanche have, I think, given up the second or third fewest goals out of all the teams in the NHL. But the reason why, and I think the goaltending is the equalizer there. I mean, the goaltending has been awesome. Obviously, Varlamov's got those legal issues that hopefully don't prevent him from playing anymore.
Well, it's a conspiracy for the Americans to beat Russia.
The Russian Olympic officials, right. It's a conspiracy.
Well, I haven't heard that conspiracy, but
that's what the Russians said.
Yeah, okay. The Russians, right. Yeah.
But, I mean, after Jan Hage is a veteran guy, and Eric Johnson, former first overall pick, he's been solid defensively, and I don't think he's ever going to turn into that 50- or 60-point defenseman that he was projected to be when he was drafted first overall. And you've got guys like Tyson Barrie and Andre Benoit, who is a veteran, unsigned guy who played for the Senators last year. But really, you know, Rich, you talk about some of their parts, and I still think that, you know, the Jets and the Avalanche are similar in the sense that they get it done by committee, and the Jets are better offensively than the Avalanche, but I still think they're similar in the sense that they need to all play as a group, and I think the Jets would get the edge there because of the prospects, Trouba and Morrissey and a young guy like Bogosian. So I still think the Jets are better than the Avalanche, but comparable in the sense that, you know, you could probably use a better veteran guy in the top four there.
Jan Hede is a nice guy, a nice player, and I think he'd be a great fit for the Jets. But aside from that, I don't think that Colorado's great, again, been greater than some of their parts, but I don't think they're as good as they're not really close talent wise to the Jets.
Right, you bring in a guy like Corey Sarich and he's been good, but Corey Sarich is on his last contract,
right.
So it's worked out. They've guys like Adam Foote have done a good job there in getting the most out of their group of D.
Last team to discuss, Richard, you have the New Jersey Devils defense. You have the Jets defense being better than the New Jersey Devils defense.
Yes.
I got to say, I'm a little surprised that, Ezzy, you think they're similar to the Winnipeg Jets. I'm wondering if you're wearing Devils-colored glasses when you made that comparison.
By the way, when we're saying similar, I'm arguing that, and because it doesn't mean I don't think the Jets are better. It just means that similar, I can't say that they're noticeably better. Just I would rank the Jets higher than the Devils. That's why I'm going to give my rankings there at the end. But I think the Devils right now, guys, you know, Bryce Salvador is injured, but he's the captain of the team, and he's the leader of that team. But Zdlicky, and aside from Andy Green, who I think has been, you know, one of their leaders offensively, but Larson has struggled. He's still only 20 years old, but he's really struggled. Right now, they're using Eric Jelena and John Merrill, both rookies, guys.
The Jets defense better than the Devils, has he?
I did say they're better. I just said they're comparable in the sense that I couldn't.
That they both play hockey on ice.
Well, no. Not just that. I think that, you know, the Jets right now, I think the way they move the puck, they've got more offensive-based players. But I think that, you know, the Devils still, as a group, and guys, they've done a good job in keeping games low scoring this year.
He's a man. I'll tell you one thing. I've said this on the show before, maybe a couple times, Ezzy, but Pete DeBoer is one of the
top three underrated coaches in the NHL.
Yeah, he's a great coach. I mean, he took them to the finals a couple years ago.
He's a good coach.
Yeah, and who thought the Devils were going to go to the finals 2 years ago? So I do still think the Jets are better, but, you know, when you're going through 29 teams at 11 o'clock at night on a Friday,
nobody told you to start at 11 o'clock.
Well, I have a job.
Until what time?
Well, I mean, I have to go home, then go shopping, eat dinner. I mean, what do you...
Don't worry, I'm prepping, I'm dressing? We'll talk about your tired mood this morning later in the last segment.
We're not bringing that up.
Oh, we're bringing it up.
No, we're not bringing that up.
Before we go to break...
Hold on, we didn't give the rankings.
Sure.
Okay, your rankings of the Winnipeg Jets.
I think I went through... Well, I did this for a reason, right?
Boy, the two of you are... it's a serious... It's like the two stooges over here.
I have nothing to do with this.
What about not three stooges? Who's Curly? Who's Mo? Who's the other guy?
You're all three.
Okay, I'm going to say that in the NHL, I rank the Jets as having the 18th best group of defensemen in the NHL, and for forwards, I had them at 22nd.
I would say that I have the Jets ranked 14th overall in terms of NHL defenses, based on the criteria that we've mentioned before. If I'm looking at forwards, I would say the Jets are 26th overall.
I notice we're apart by four on each. That is neat. That is neat.
Numerology, you guys, you know, what does that really mean? Let's go to break before we do an update from the Vancouver-New York Rangers game in Madison Square Garden. It's going to be interesting to talk to John Tortorella following this one. The Rangers lead 4-0.
I thought we might have him on the show today.
I think you might get his reaction on the show on midweek on Wednesday after Brooksy asks him about today's game.
What the hell kind of question is that?
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to
The Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Shortly past 2:30 in the afternoon, welcome back to The Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN1290, TSN1290.ca. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg, Michael Remus, producer Tim. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and NHL news is IllegalCurve.com.
NHL news and notes.
NHL news and notes for this Saturday afternoon. We start in New Jersey, where it sounds like Corey Schneider is getting a little bit tired of always being the bridesmaid and never the bride, as it were, you know, expressing some frustration earlier this week about how he hasn't had as many starts as of late as Martin Brodeur, you know, saying, you know, he's not mad at Marty Brodeur. Marty's been playing well, he says, but he just seems it's like it's Groundhog Day to me. I can't seem to escape it. You know, is Schneider wrong? Is he out of line in his comments? Or is just, you know, a refreshing situation where a player is just honest about his current standing?
I think it's refreshing, Drew. I think we know that at this point in time, Schneider's a better goalie than Brodeur. But there's something called loyalty, and I think the Devils have exhibited that better than many other teams. I know his stats are better in terms of what he's done, and I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, Brodeur hasn't been bad at all. I think Schneider's been really good. But, you know what? I'm happy if I'm the Devils that Schneider's mad because I want a competitive goalie. I want somebody who's no longer satisfied with being second in line. But at the same time, Marty Brodeur deserves a lot of respect. And I realize some people just say, oh, you know, he's done. You know, he's not what he once was. He should be a backup. It's not that simple. There's a matter of respect. And Marty also isn't coming in at an .890 save percentage. It's not like he's coming in not stopping anything. So I think if you're the Devils, you eventually know that Schneider's going to be your guy. He's signed. He's going to be your guy. But Pete DeBoer, and he's a good coach. We talked about him before. He's going to do what he's going to do here. And also, you watch during the course of the year when the Brodeur won't play as much because they want to have him rested. And who knows what happens at the playoffs? Because you know,
there's the terrible
Grand Rapids Griffins might make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. So overall, I think Schneider's frustrated, but I think it's a fair situation. I don't think it's too unfair.
Ezzy, you're the Devils fan.
Well, and the reality is, Richie, we were at the draft in Newark, and I don't think I certainly didn't think that Marty Brodeur was going to be playing this many games. He's got a couple shutouts this year, guys, and the reality is, you know, I don't think he's going to win the Vezina Trophy this year. But the reality is, he's playing and he deserves to be in the net. And you know, Corey Schneider might be upset because he was expecting maybe to play 65 games this year, but Marty Brodeur is playing well, and he's creating some competition. As Richie mentioned, that's healthy to have that competition, and it's healthy for Schneider to be angry because, you know, you don't want to be too complacent ever unless you're in a situation where you're playing that well and you should be starting every game. So, you know, I can understand his frustration because that whole Schneider-Luongo thing in Vancouver, Richie, got really tired. It got tired 2 years ago, and it was certainly tired last year. So, you know, the fact that Corey Schneider is upset, you know, maybe that will end up resulting in him playing better. But for now, Marty Brodeur, you know, deserves to get a few starts here and there.
For the record here, their numbers, Schneider's played 11 games. He's got a 1.89 goals against average.
Which is really good.
A save percentage of .923. Marty Brodeur, 15 games played, a goals against average of 2.20. Right.
And I still think, sorry to cut you off, Drew, I do think Schneider will end up playing more games than Brodeur this year.
And a save percentage of .910.
It's because of recently is what's happened. Brodeur's been playing a little more. Yeah. But, you know,
and Schneider had a little bit of an injury, too.
You want competitors.
Yep.
You want guys to want it.
Sure. What have we talked about on this team? That if the Jets had a 1A and a 1B, right, we think it would be, Andrei Pavlik would have to constantly, mm-hmm, step his game up and constantly be wary of the guy who's nipping at his heels. Now, I think he's played fine. Played well the last, week, 10 days or so. But, it's just a philosophy for a team almost.
And Corey Schneider's been locked behind a gold medal winner and Roberto Luongo, a guy who's been having great careers, likely going to be a Hall of Famer, and Marty Brodeur, who's won everything.
That's right. I mean, it's not like you're being locked behind a bunch of dregs of the NHL goaltending world.
Speaking of that, Brizgalov.
From a hero to zero in one game flat.
That's right.
Yeah. Coaching rivalry continues. Patrick Waugh continues to make noise.
Love it.
I thought this was a great press conference. Yeah. After the Blues defeated the Colorado Avalanche earlier this week, Patrick Waugh in his post-game press conference had the following comments to make regarding, Ken Hitchcock and the game itself. Patrick Waugh goes, and I quote, "You know what? I was very mad at the end because I have been jabbed by different coaches around the league, especially Hitchcock when he said that was junior stuff, talking to players, talking to the referees. But I saw a guy on the other side who was talking to players and then was also talking to the referee and got the referee mad." Waugh continues, "Seems to me that there's different rules for everybody in this league. I guess the old guys are allowed to do whatever they want, and I guess us, because we are younger, we are not allowed to say anything. I am a little mad about that." Hitchcock, in response, succinctly says, "Oh, give me a break. Tell Patrick to shut the bleep up." Those guys are very entertaining.
What does bleep mean?
Oh, boy.
It means bleep.
It's what do I think of that? I think I love it. I think that means there's a rivalry. It means there's a division rivalry. It means you have a young, up-and-coming team against an established team that wants to take the next step in St. Louis. It means Patrick Waugh doesn't back down from anybody. He'll say whatever he wants. And Ken Hitchcock isn't going to back down from everybody. I think that's great for the game. I think you need more emotion. Enough of the stoic garbage behind the bench.
Right. Patty Roy, we've talked about this before. We talked about it when Roy was hired, Richie, by the Avalanche. Roy being a head coach in the NHL alone, just that fact alone is great for the game because he was so good for hockey, not just on the ice, but kind of the theatrics on the ice. Everybody remembers his famous line to Jeremy Roenick, like, "I can't hear what Jeremy Roenick's saying because my cup rings are plugging my ears," right? That was one of the best lines of all time. And it's great to see these guys fired up. When Hitchcock was here, if you guys remember, was it 1-0 that the Jets beat the Blues? 2-1?
Last year, talking about.
No, this year. What was the score when the Blues were here? 2-1?
No, it was 4-3?
The Jets beat the Blues. Regardless, the Jets beat the Blues, and Ken Hitchcock, there was a bunch of us scrumming around Ken Hitchcock, and Jeremy Rutherford asked the question, and Ken Hitchcock said, "We gave that one away. We played like crap. Walked away." I mean, Ken Hitchcock is the type of guy, he tells it like it is, right? And so does Patrick Waugh, and It's refreshing to hear that, as Richie said, as opposed to the cliche, boring answers that unfortunately we sometimes get.
I think it's also smart of Waugh. Nobody's talking about the fact that his team got destroyed 4-1. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about himself. His players are allowed to sort of coast without having to be terribly accountable regarding a bad performance against the division rival. Instead, everybody's talking about the head coach. Smart decision in my opinion. We mentioned him earlier. Jonathan Erickson signs a 6-year contract extension with the Detroit Red Wings. It's a 6-year, $25.5 million extension. Average annual value of $4.25 million. The Red Wings get some value here. Is this a fair contract for both sides?
You know, I think it's fair. Druin Eriksson isn't going to be that dominant defenseman. They drafted him as a forward. They developed him slowly and put him on the back end, and they developed everybody slowly, as Ray Ferraro mentioned, you know, regarding his son and other players, and Gustav Nyquist in the second hour of the show. But, you know, he'll play top 4 minutes. He'll play to over 20 minutes a game, and he's going to cost you just a bit over $4 million. I think it's fair both ways.
Yeah, Rich, I think the cap hit is definitely fair. I was a little bit surprised that he got 6 years, but maybe not when they know what they have and they get a favorable term. I thought he would sign for more like 4 years, but they like him enough to sign him for 6 years. And as you mentioned, he's really taken a while to develop. And when Lidstrom and Rafalski and Stewart were still around, Jonathan Eriksson was a bottom pairing defenseman, but now he's a second pair. And he's had some injury problems, pardon me, for the Red Wings this year. But he's a big guy. He's not afraid to get physical. He can chip in offensively. This year he's only played, I think, 15 or 16 games, and he hasn't put up incredible numbers yet. But he's a guy that, you know, he has the ability to chip in a bit offensively, but he's more of a shutdown guy, a bigger guy. And as Richie said, he's a top four defenseman for this team.
Last one, the Anaheim Ducks signed Nick Bonino to a 3-year, $5.7 million contract extension, an average annual value of $1.9
million. You know, contracts like that are never going to kill you because they're so low. Nick Bonino has talent, Drew. The question is, can he keep up with the NHL skating level? And he's done some nice work for himself, and it's a nice story. The Ducks think he can be an effective player, and I think it's something that you can't really go wrong with a deal like that.
17 points in 28 games so far this season.
Get some value out of that, likely. But you know what? Get some security, too.
Sure. It's the kind of guy, you know, you take him, you know, bird in the hand, like they say. Yeah, is he anything on that one?
Well, I'm a little bit higher on Kyle Palmieri than I am Nick Bonino, but Nick Bonino has been good. He's played a little bit on the second line. But as Richie mentioned, is he going to be a top six forward, or is he going to be more of as it goes forward? And on the Ducks, let's be honest, right now, the talent drop-off, Richie, now that they've moved Bobby Ryan, you've got Getzlaff and Perry, who are just unbelievably dominant. But after that, you've got guys like Palmieri, Bonino, Emerson Edom. Those guys are going to have to take over for Koivu and Solani eventually, right? Because Solani, this is his last year. How many years does Koivu have left? A few, maybe? So these are the types of guys that they're going to be given the opportunity to show them if they can be second-line guys. And, you know, so in that sense, it's a nice contract. He's had a decent start to the season here, so it's good for him.
And, you know, Edom is a guy who they like. Speedy played well in the playoffs, but he's actually sent down to the minors this week. So they have depth there.
Who got sent down to the minors?
Yeah.
Who did?
Edom.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Surprisingly, Drew didn't.
I think he's played pretty well. I was a little bit surprised.
Were you about to say, surprisingly, I didn't take a bite out of him or something? Is that where you're going with that, Richard?
I won't even.
Emerson Edom, from born and raised in California.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to
not break. A lot of players from California, Drew.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
You're listening to
the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on tsn1290.ca.
One final segment for this Saturday afternoon here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Here on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. Now, I mean, having done, what is this, 11 segments so far, I think the show's been pretty good. I got to tell you, the show prep got off to a little bit of a rocky start this morning.
This is true.
There was an incident. There was a little bit of a personality clash to start the morning.
Nope.
True.
Bad as he woke up.
Oh, boy.
He is an angry bear sometimes in the morning.
He was angry this morning.
He was not happy to be, you know, we go to a local coffee shop every Saturday. We've spoken about this on the air before, to do some prep. You know, Richie was there first this morning. You were there probably about 9:30, give or take, right? And it was a busy...
You weren't there at 9:30.
9:30, 9:45.
It was a busy coffee shop today. The seating was limited, especially when you had to keep in mind you had to plug in your laptop because of...
My laptop was dead, so I got a table, and then what happened was I walked into the coffee shop. I actually bought my coffee, and then this table opened up because this woman... She moved from the table to the couches. So I took her table, and then I opened my computer and realized, ugh, you know, my computer's dead. I didn't charge it last night. So I had to move to the couches, too. There was three seats.
Yeah.
So I plugged in my computer in the corner. Drew eventually came about 20 minutes later. Drew sat down in the other seat. So Drew and I are enjoying our Saturday morning. We're talking about the show, the questions, what we want to do. About 11 o'clock, Mr. Personality trots in, Ezra Ginsberg, in a nice new collar shirt that he must have bought, and he comes in and says, in a very confrontational tone,
"Yeah,
where am I going to sit? And I said, well, you know, Ezzy, there'll be a chair available soon. And then this guy literally gets up as soon as you say that, about a meter from us. And so Ezzy sits in this chair and says, okay, why am I here? And I said, well, I don't know. We're going to prepare the show like we do every week for the past 3, 4, or 5 years. And he says, okay, so what do you want to talk about? I said, well, if you're going to have that attitude, might as well just meet us at the studio.
The problem.
Hold on. And he says, well, I'm not beside you guys. That girl's sitting there. The girl promptly gets...
Hang on. Let me interrupt. He said that more than once.
She was a pretty cute girl, too.
Yeah, you didn't make a very good impression on her, let me tell you.
I think she was into me.
Oh, no.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
She gets up. She's like, okay, I'll move. She gets up, moves back to the seat that she originally had back when I got there. And then Ezzy sits down, doesn't thank her for moving, doesn't apologize. And eventually I went over and I bought her like a cookie and I dropped off and said, I apologize for my friend's behavior.
What type of cookie was it?
It was a snowman cookie.
Really, the type of cookie is not relevant to this conversation.
Okay, first of all, I apologized to her after. By the way, I love how Remus cuts off the music when I'm talking to make me look worse. Unbelievable, after sticking up for Remus. This wasn't your finest moment. This is not really your... There's two sides to every story, and then there's the truth.
No,
I'm going to tell you...
That was fairly accurate.
I'm going to tell... Three sides, I guess. I'm going to tell the truth. And the truth was, we always sit at the same table. And the fact is, we have to talk to each other and go over the notes and everything before the show. And the thing is, I was at a table, and this girl was between us, and I just was making the point that it was going to be tough for me to be talking over her or through her. So, in fact, I did her a service because she was obviously studying. She had her little highlighter out there. So I was actually doing her a service. She left to a better spot. So actually, and again, we gave her a cookie, so everything's good.
First of all, let's go to the next topic because I want to talk about hockey before the end of the show, but we would be wrong. It would be me on your behalf.
Yes.
What?
Rapid fire for this Saturday, very quickly before the end of the show.
Well, Sidney, rapid fire, Drew.
Sidney Crosby collected his 700th point in the NHL earlier this week.
Yep.
It took him 496 games to do so. Who would you rather have in their prime? Mario Lemieux, Jaromir Jagr, or Sidney Crosby?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think you take Jagr out right off the bat.
I don't know about that, Ezzy.
I think it's between Lemieux. Well, you didn't throw Gretzky in there. Because you never throw Gretzky in there,
I'm
right?
only talking about penguins, guys, obviously.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about, you know, we're having a good little chat here. I think I'd still probably take Lemieux, because I think Lemieux at his prime was a better goal scorer, even though Crosby is got that playmaking element. But if we're talking Lemieux, Jagr, Crosby, and we're ranking the guys that you want on your team, I think you go Lemieux 1, Crosby 2, Jagr 3.
Yeah, I agree, but it is tight. Because people don't sometimes appreciate how good Jaromir Jagr has been.
Or Crosby. I mean, Crosby right now, he might put up his best year offensively ever this year.
Joffrey Lupul of the Toronto Maple Leafs was placed on the injured reserve earlier this week with a groin strain. At this point in his career, is it fair to describe Lupul as injury prone?
Yeah, oh, I think so, Drew.
He's a Band-Aid.
Yeah, he's always injured, and he's a guy who's coming to his own in Toronto, but you can't count on him all the time to be healthy. And some of them are freak injuries, and he had the back problems earlier in his career. But, you know, he's become an injury-prone player. And when a team like that who needs all the help they can get, it certainly hurts them.
Richie, good for Lupul. Lupul spelled the same backwards, by the way. So, I mean, he's always had, you know, all that offensive ability. And good for him for coming back from those injuries with the Ducks and making a good career and getting that contract with the Leafs. But the guy's injured every year. He was injured last year. How many games did he play last year? 15?
Last year
he
got hit by a shot, by a shot, and broke his wrist.
Right, but, I mean, still injured. And, by the way, Remus, your mic is on. So, I mean, he's injury prone. I mean, he's been injury prone for 5 years now. He's just, you know, every year he's proving it.
Earlier this week, John Tortorella challenged Roberto Luongo to step his game up when the team, that being the Vancouver Canucks, suffer a defensive breakdown. Yeah. Do you have any problem with Tortorella challenging Luongo to step his game up in instances such as this one?
Well, I don't have any problem with him doing it, but the question is, you know, well, the issue is every player is different and every player reacts differently to criticism. So, for example, when Luongo today gets pulled after allowing 3 goals, is it effectively working or not? And Luongo's a little bit more sensitive maybe than some other goalies and different than Henrik Lundqvist and Nikolai Habibulin. So maybe it's not the best strategy to take. I don't know Luongo enough personally on that level, but Tortorella sometimes has to change how he deals with players to cater to how they are most effectively coached.
I do know Luongo personally, Richie, and he just texted me, and he said that...
From the bench of the 4-1
It's okay.
Game.
He just said, hold on, it's coming in here. Torts being torts. No worries, I'll be fine. So I think Tortorella is just trying to, you know, motivate him. I don't think... I mean, I don't know if that's the best strategy. I agree with you, Rich, but I think he's just trying to motivate
him. The problem he has is that this team's not good enough.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And jeers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stinks like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Ezzy.
All right, this is an easy one. I'm going to cheer Movember. This is the last day of Movember. I think we're at about $2,700 plus raised Team Illegal Curve myself.
$2,765 exactly.
There you go. You've obviously got a computer in front of you. So I'm going to cheer Movember. Richie's done a great job. Dave's done a great job. It's been a really fun month. We can get that mustache off. I want to let everyone know there's the Movember Gala Party tonight at the Pyramid. I'm going to be judging the mustache competition. And there's some extra tickets, too. So tweet at me or DM me or something, and I can probably get you some free tickets to the Pyramid tonight.
You should have to make a donation to you, and then they can get
tickets.
Well,
I don't want to, you know, force people to make a donation, but I do have tickets to give away that Movember's given me, so I can give away some free tickets here.
Yeah, echo those sentiments. You know, I think it's an easy one. It's been a great cause, and I'm happy to be able to contribute. And as you did a great job with the event last week, Jeff Paulson for including us, and Drew for not growing a mustache.
Yes, thank you very much. Richie, no pressure, but I think I look back in my emails, and you appear to be $6.33 behind the pace
you know what?
I set
you
last
year. I'm going to go home right now and donate $8 just so Richie beats Drew.
If it means more money going to a good cause, I'm happy to fall behind Richard Pollock. That's it for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on this Saturday afternoon here on TSN 1290. Big thank you to Mike Colligan, Ray Ferraro, and James Gordon for having joined us. Big thank you to our sponsors, the Certified General Accountants Association of Manitoba, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, and the Chill Bar and Grill. In case you missed any of the program, it will be available for download on iTunes, also on tsn1290.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and the website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and NHL news is IllegalCurve.com. For producer Tim and producer Michael Remus, for Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Wednesday night, 6 p.m. NHL midweek here on TSN 1290. But you know that if it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
Catch the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live Saturdays on TSN 1290 and TSN 1290.ca.